This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Modelo. What does a true fan look like? It's cheering the loudest. It's never missing a game, no matter what. And for that, you deserve an ice cold reward because you are a fighter and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Shop delivery or pickup options near you at ordermodelo.com. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. Hello and welcome to Extra Threat on the Ringer NFL
Dual
Show.
Point taken. Wait, should we do the name thing? We all go through?
Extra?
What am I supposed to say? I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, we are off to a roaring start.
We got to lock in.
Okay. All right.
I'm Nora Princiati. I've got Sheil Kapadia to my left. On my right, Stephen Ruiz.
That's right.
And then Ben Solak. Howdy. Locking it down at the end of the table here on Radio Row. The gang is all together. We're all here.
What a week. What a time to be alive. What a fusion dance. What a show.
What a time to be alive and to be together. So, this is our last show before the Super Bowl. So we thought it would be fun for us all to get together and combine forces. Extra threat taken, dual point, many words that can go into a title of a podcast. We have spent the entire week here in Las Vegas, and we've learned a lot. We've had a lot of conversations, done a lot of stuff. We're mostly going to keep it loose today, but we did want to start this show with a prompt for everyone. We're all going to answer this. We're all going to give one thing that we learned this week or changed our minds on. Does that work?
That works.
Yeah, I like it.
I mean, I never change my mind. I'm always right to begin with.
Right.
Yeah.
The number of people this week who have come up to Steve and be like, you excited to retire after birdie wins? Like, people are dialed in. People are locked in on the stakes of this game.
Can I just say that I'm resentful of this idea and these stakes because I need a pod partner. So, like, you can't retire.
Tough break.
You can't, like, I'm sorry, but you have to just, like, be a liar.
I don't know why these people think it's a bad thing for me not to work. I don't want to work. And I have a contract with the Ringer. They have to pay me.
Got him.
It's going to be
pulling the Frank Reich. I'm praying for Brock Purdy to win this thing.
Next year I'm opening the pod with, man, if the Chiefs win more than five games, I'm going to get them.
Early retirement. All right, Ben, do you want to start us off?
Things I learned this week?
Yeah.
You and I
just one.
Yeah, I think you
and I were
talking
about... Don't take them all. So, like, one thing.
You and I were talking
Listen,
about
man.
You and I were talking about
Understand
this.
A prompt for once in your life.
I never will. You and I were talking about this yesterday. I walked into this week a lot more confident in the Chiefs winning. And now as I sit here on Friday,
You're flipping stealing mine, bro.
No, absolutely not. We discussed this collectively. I can come up with a second one. I can come up with a third one. I think the number one thing, the big thing for me... As I walked in really like pretty confident in the Chiefs winning, and now we're here on Friday, I still think it's Chiefs. I'm still on the Chiefs, but I do think this is going to be a closer game than that, and I anticipated. I think the Niners have more paths to victory than I anticipated. I think that the last couple of games of Niners football weighing a little bit too heavily on my mind in terms of some of the issues with Brock Purdy and some of the struggles that he's had in the pocket, some of the difficulties getting their key weapons activated and getting some explosive gains. Like it is... I have been reminded, and it has been a worthy reminder, that for much of the season, nobody really stopped these guys, right? It was Debo and Trent Williams going out that led to any wind coming out of this offense's sails. Now, if you go and you try to find the games in which Brock Purdy's bad, there's a big fall off when he plays the top 10 defense. That's what he's facing on Sunday. He's not good when he gets an actual blitz, right? Not like a little five-down front rush, but like an actual blitzer from depth, negative EPA per play. That's the Chiefs team. So I still think the Chiefs defensively match up into him well. But I think I've underestimated and forgotten about the fact that Debo Samuel might break a tackle and 75 yards later it's a touchdown. Right. And there's nothing to be done about schemes and numbers and any game, matchups, this and that. Debo decides he beats you. Debo decides he beats you. And so I walked in, I think, overconfident on the Chiefs. And now as I approach the game, like last year I got more and more confident the Chiefs would win. This year I've gotten less and less confident the Chiefs would win. I'm much more so in the gray area now.
Yeah, so I was going to – maybe we can skip around a little bit. But I was going to ask you guys if it was – if it was acceptable this late in the week to change a pick. Because we had this exercise about what's one thing that you changed your mind on, and I kept thinking about it. And I was just like sitting in my room looking at my computer and going, oh my God, it's the outcome of the game.
Right.
I really, like, the thing that I'm having trouble getting over is I feel like Christian McCaffrey is going to run for 150 yeah. yards and a touchdown, maybe two. I'm also less confident in this Chiefs run game against this particular 49ers defense, which I think a week ago I felt like was relatively strength on weakness, right? Like very solidly advantaged Chiefs. Mm-hmm. The more I think about some of the injuries to the offensive line, the more I think about the particular ways in which Kansas City wants to attack four down fronts and the particular ways in which Isaiah Pacheco likes to run, and I go, they're not testing the edges of that 49ers defense that have been the most vulnerable. So then I start thinking, okay, we're in a game situation where I think Christian McCaffrey is going off. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that the Chiefs offense is getting a ton of balance. So then we get into Patrick Savas territory. And they can win a Super Bowl.
Not
like that.
The worst territory can be.
It's totally fine territory. Yeah. But the cowardly take that I was thinking of giving you guys was, if the Chiefs are going to win this game, it has to be like a Mahomes magic game. But in my
That's
heart...
That's bold. That is bold
which
stuff
Which is
there.
Not a bold yeah. take. In my heart of hearts, it's I'm like, I'm not sure I believe my take anymore. I'm not sure I believe my pick anymore. It's not coming from the soul.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I've been on the pod. I've picked the 49ers. I've picked the Chiefs. I've changed my pick back and forth like the last couple of days.
Taking a page out of Solak's playbook.
I haven't even acknowledged that it's a change.
You gotta be on the record.
What he just did right there, he tried to get a rise out of me, and I dodged it perfectly. I want you guys to notice. He looked at me like, and you're about to blow up, and I went, no, sir.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I didn't even – it's not me changing my picks. I'm just on different platforms with different picks, so I'm always right. It doesn't matter. I'm going to be
also always wrong.
That's true.
You have to have one spot that is your official take, your official pick, for the Super Bowl, okay?
This so man picked the 49ers on the pod, even though he thinks the Chiefs are going to win.
No, but I explained that was not my official pick.
My official pick is on the ringer.com right now. Okay. It is for the Chiefs to win by a touchdown.
Okay. So
what I am telling you is that we are doing a little bit of Friday morning podcast football therapy, and I feel so bad about it. Yeah. I don't like it at all. Yeah. I'm not confident.
I mean, I think probably, like, the best thing to do would have been to just, like, pick the game after the championship round and then just be like, done with it, not looking at it. Because, yeah, you can. The more you think about it, then you're like, well, this could happen. Well, this could happen. Then something stupid's going to happen, and there's going to be a punt return, and there's going to be a rain. Right. Someone's going to fumble when the ball's not even punt, and that's going to decide the game and all this analysis. So I'm telling everyone, you don't have to listen to the rest of the pod, but please subscribe to the Ringer NFL on YouTube. So there you go. I caught myself. I was like, I'm telling them not to. Okay.
Our analysis is sound. It just won't matter once the ball is kicked off. I got you. Made sense.
Okay. You know how to sell a podcast.
Thank you.
All right, Steven, you want to give us yours?
Yeah. I underestimated the 49ers' chances of winning this game.
No,
I'm joking. But it is related to that. I was adamant that this was going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
I am not
confident anymore in the Chiefs' defense. The more I've watched film, the more I had the same thing you had, where I'm like, the last 2 weeks have kind of sullied the 49ers for me, but for most of the season, 90% of the season, nobody has been able to stop them. Yeah. This is better than the Dolphins' offense. I don't think there are as many weaknesses that you can exploit.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the second-best offense by success rate in the last decade, the 49ers' offense.
And it's known for explosives.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
And it's down-to-down, too.
And so it's just like, right, and they do it on early downs, they do it on late downs, they do it with different players in different contexts. Like, this is not the sort of offense that, like, you actually stop for four quarters.
No.
I picked them to score 10 points on our official prediction. I have the Chiefs winning, like, 23-9 or something. So it's tricky because what is I think inarguably true, independent of what you think about the Niners offense. Super high on them, have your doubts. Niners fan, love Brock Purdy, doubts about Brock Purdy. The weak point on the offense, like, is Purdy, because everything else is so good, right? And, like, Niners fans bring up the offensive line. There's absolutely weaknesses there, but, like, even then, like, the offensive line's issues manifest themselves most in pass protection, which is also heavily right. Purdy controlled. The weak point is the quarterback. That's not to say Purdy has been bad. Purdy has been good. It's just that the weak point is the quarterback. That's a weird spot to be in, because it feels like if you do hit that Jenga piece, it's really hard to, like the Niners could score 35, but if you hit the Jenga piece, they score 9, because it's the quarterback.
But I disagree with that, because, like, think of the games recently where the Jenga piece has been hit. They scored 24 against the Packers. They scored 34 against the Lions.
The 34 against the Lions was so fake.
They scored 19 against the Ravens, and they threw 5 picks. Like, yeah. This team is going to score at least 20 points no matter what.
Right, kind of garbage time.
And also, your take can't be only 10 of the points are real. It has to just be 10 points.
No, I'm fine with only 10 of the points are real. Absolutely. Punt return, Ray McLeod gets involved. Dre Greenlaw picks 6.
It counts. It has to count.
Here's the thing. Like, Purdy is untouchable. Like, he's been inaccurate on 20% of his throws. Not 20% of his incompletion. 20% of his throws. That's a high number. He's had 4 turnover-worthy plays, I think. His EPA is 0.2 for the playoffs.
He's immortal.
That's an MVP level.
He's the golden boy. He's the golden boy.
And he hasn't been good.
They haven't lost a game with Purdy when they've scored 20 points in the last 2 years. 20 points or more.
How many total games have they lost? They've lost
5, I think. I think they're 21-5, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, like, it would be the 3-game losing streak, the Ravens game, and then, like, Eagles last year? Are we counting that? No. So, yeah, so it's just 5 counts.
Yeah, and that one, he didn't even play.
It's only 4 because the Rams game he didn't play.
I mean, I don't think there's a – I don't think there's a case that – I think you're right. The case against the Niners is, like – I feel like there is recency bias. Like, you know, they had to come back. But, like, they did come back. It's not easy to come back from 24-7, like, whatever the win probabilities were in those games, and they did enough in those games. So I don't think you can stop this offense on a possession-to-possession basis. Like, Chiefs aren't going to be forcing 3-and-outs. Could they force 2 Brock Purdy turnovers? Yes, but they're not going to, like, shut them down. It's just only a matter of time with them.
One thing I will say about that, though, is that the Niners do not trust their kicker. And Kyle is not aggressive on fourth down. Like, I'm really fascinated to see if the Chiefs get
something's got to give.
If the Chiefs get them in a script here where they are a little bit more methodical, because, like, the Chiefs best passing defense against explosive plays in the league this year, 32 out of 32, right? Like, nobody gets explosives against this team. If they get them into a little bit more of a methodical approach, and you get that fourth and 2 from the 38. And you know the Chiefs are going to be methodical. You know this game is going to be shorter. It's going to be fewer drives. Like, is Kyle going to sit there in this Super Bowl with all the legacy talk hanging over him and be like, go get it, Jake Moody. Go get 3. Like, you feel bad about that, and you feel scary about 4th and 2 with Mahomes on the other sideline. Like, Shiel and I have been hammering this on Extra Point Taken. Shanahan game management is an edge where he loses. He creates so many edges for his team Monday to Saturday. But on a Sunday in the headset, 4th down, he gives win probability to the other team. And this feels like the sort of game where that sort of decision is really going to matter.
By the way, one of my other options for something that I learned this week was, and I didn't do this because I think on some level I knew this going in, Kyle's stressed. Kyle seems stressed. Yeah. He's upset about the field. He's worried.
The field thing is very interesting. I mean, that has been a big story, like the UNLV practice field thing all week. I mean, that's weird for that to it. Like, they're not, you know... It was a big story early. Then he's asked about it. It's not ideal, but we're dealing. Like, I don't know. That is strange to me. Like, I could just see if they lose this game on Sunday, Monday, the big story is, like, how did they practice on these, you know, these UNLV fields
to
were
me,
not up
to. It's not like, you know, did it affect how the quality of their practice is? It's just like, he just seems like he's fussing.
It's annoying.
And in the 2020 Super Bowl, if you remember, there was a lot of stuff with the 49ers about, like, they were upset about the pool reporter, and there was just a lot of, like, little nonsense.
Yeah.
And Shanahan was really upset about it, and he didn't like where people were on the sidelines and blah, 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 blah. And somebody brought this up to me, and I was just sort of thinking about it going, like, man, like, I am a real big proponent of, I mean, look at Andy Reid, right? Like, someone who was playoff choker, can't get it done until he wasn't, until that changed, until he did it, and then everybody just gets over it. Kyle Shanahan is too good to not get one eventually, and then we're all going to stop talking about this stupid narrative that, like, he can't, you know, win the big one. But I think he's stressed, and I don't think that's
I think
good.
He's comfortable, though, in that state. I think some coaches, they just need to be in that state of stress.
He's good because of it.
Yes.
I would be worried if
Kyle
were showing up being like, you know what? We Las Vegas has been great for us. You know, we love the environment here. We're feeling good. Good week of practices.
Yeah.
I love the way the team looks ready for Sunday. I'd be like, something's wrong. That's bad. No, Kyle needs to be like
on edge.
Everything.
Right. But I want him to be like
awful.
Fighting. I want him to be like fighting the demons of legacy and greatness,
this
and
is
not
how,
like I'm worried about the field.
This is how when you go for a big boss fight in a video game, you get in their lair,
yes.
And you have to start by fighting like the little underlings, right? These are the underlings. Right, Kyle's fighting the field. Kyle's fighting the alarm in the hotel. Kyle's fighting the pool reporter. He's getting warm, right? He's getting loose. He's getting into the flow of things. That way, when he gets to the big baddie, all right, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, he's ready. That was a good metaphor. No, don't wag your head at me.
The moment that he stops caring about this stuff.
Happening.
The moment that he's not good anymore at his job, it's
okay.
Because he's obsessive.
Yeah. Right.
If he didn't care about the field, he'd be Nathaniel Hackett.
Right. Yeah.
Nathaniel Hackett wouldn't care about the field.
First.
He'd be doing a Borat impression.
Kyle Shanahan with good field practice conditions.
There is no scenario under which you would be Nathaniel Hackett.
He's a very good analyst because he's obsessive about football, but I'm sure in other parts of your life that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Look at
that.
You brought it around at the end, but for a second, you were complimenting him, and you could just see Ben's eyes sort of going back and forth, being like, is this real?
I felt very uncomfortable there. I don't know about Ben, but I felt uncomfortable.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
But it's the same way where, like, Andy Reid, right? Like, I was at an Andy presser this week, and he just rolls up in shorts, right? And they're like, Andy, what are you going to eat after the game? And he was like, ha. A burger, like Andy needs. That's how Andy prepares, right?
Imagine being Kyle, actually, and just watching Andy Reid like doing bits all week while you're not sleeping.
Explain it to me.
Well, that's why you have Mahomes.
Like Carrot Top. He's been doing the same bits for just. I mean, no.
How much money? How much money?
Carrot Top distresses me, dude.
he's a stressful presence. How much money would you pay to see Kyle do the Nuggies commercial, word for word?
My salary for a year, dude.
Absolutely. I'll get in on that.
Just the flat top in the hoodie and just the sallow, sleepless eyes. Just explain it to me with those Nuggies. Oh, I would do anything.
Nuggies. That's incredible. That's an incredible idea. Wow. That's what they should put on the line for the Super Bowl. I mean, loser. Loser's got to do the next Nuggies commercial.
So it's if Kyle loses, he has to do an Andy Reid Nuggies commercial. If Andy loses, he's got to do like a Kyle thing where he does a profile talking about like, I torture my assistant. They have to just like cosplay as the other for a day because the vibes are so disparate. It'd be funny to see.
He has to do a method acting as what's his face from Succession, who looks like Kyle
Kendall
Shanahan.
Roy.
Kendall Roy.
Yeah. He looks just like him.
All right, Sheil. Bring us home here, please. Like, I'm hoping this is like normal and thoughtful. And
I mean, I wouldn't say thoughtful, but yeah, I would say. I mean, I just the way the Chiefs defensive players talk about Spags, like I already knew they love Spags. They got the T-shirt. I knew Spags is a great, but it's like on another level than even I thought it was. And I mean, they're using like multiple players said father figure, and I'm like NFL players in my experience are like they're past that father figure. Not they're like you know
they're
like we're grown men. We're fathers here. We don't need our defensive coordinator, but not only that, but just like they are like waiting to see what he's going to cook up and like what's this going to and they trust it. And Justin Reid was just talking about how they're passing off routes and their community, and you can kind of see that on film. Like, this is not the most talented defense in the NFL. I always do the more with less thing. It's been my bit, but like, I don't know, you hand this group of players to other defensive coordinators in the NFL, and we're like mediocre, below average. They're giving up 30 on a given week, and that hasn't happened. And so Spags has had this career where he's had these unbelievable Super Bowl performances, and he had the stint as a head coach, and he's probably never going to get one again. But as far as defensive coordinators go, I don't want to say legacy because he's already had a great career, but this is another one. Now you're going up against an offense that's been one of the best we've seen statistically in, what, a decade, two decades, with a Super Bowl on the line, and it's a different type of Chiefs team. It's not the Mahomes team. Just, all right, we're going to score 30. We're explosive. And so the way the players talk about Spags, that's one thing that's really stood out to me.
I think this week has expanded his legacy, this playoff run. And I think this week we've had a chance to just go past the scheme, which we talk about all the time, right? Yeah. But, like, the other stuff, the personal connection, the how he teaches coverages, all that stuff, like, people have been talking about.
Yes.
I don't think that would have happened if he wasn't on this run.
The other thing that Spags talks about all the time that is always so important in the postseason and is especially so when you play these Niners is tackling. If you ever watch a Steve Spagnuolo interview, Like, Steve, the defense. Like, Steve, when you evaluate players, you know, Steve, culture-wise, like, anything, the first thing he brings up with the defensive player is like, oh, you got to have a guy who's willing to tackle, and a guy who can tackle, and a guy who will... And then he talks about how he teaches tackling and how they spend time early working on tackling. Like, I can't say I've interacted with enough of the other defenses to be positive, but it really feels like Spags puts a priority on tackling that's like above the average in the league, above the rest of the league. They are the only, they're a top five team in yak allowed, and they're the only team who allows your lack over lower yak over expectation when blitzing in the entire league. Because when you blitz, you're saying, right, I'm going to get to this quarterback and I'm going to spend bodies to do it. Usually that is a very high yak opportunity for the offense, because if you hit an open receiver, there's no safeties, there's no zone defenders, there's room in the secondary to run. The Chiefs allow negative yak under expectation when they blitz. It's unbelievable. Faces are being made behind me. I don't understand why. So for me, like, Spagnuolo, the emphasis on tackling, if we walk away with this from a Chiefs win, right, and especially like a bad Niners offensive performance, a lot of the story is going to be like blitz against Brock and like Chris Jones, that's everything. But a big part of the story is going to be that when they drafted Jalen Watson and Josh Williams, it's because they were good tacklers. And those guys made the tackles in space against the receivers.
Well, and then you mentioned that, you know, there's the possibility of 75-yard Debo run that goes for a touchdown. Yep. Mm-hmm. And there's a possibility of that where it's just like Kyle doing Kyle stuff and he gets him in space and goodbye. There's also the world in which there's three guys hanging on his shoulders and he just shakes them off and goes. Yeah. And the difference between bringing him to the ground in that scenario and not doing it, and sometimes that's a Super Bowl.
I mean, last year I thought Spags had a great plan.
Yeah.
And he gave up 35 points. It happens sometimes.
Yeah, the physicality nature of it and the tackling nature of it, like, it especially stands out when you watch this Niners defense, because they don't tackle well, right? And we talk a lot about the yards after catch and yards after contact for the Niners offense. The Chiefs bring Rashee Rice, who's one of the best yak receivers in the league this year. Yeah,
on screens.
Yeah, on screens and whatnot. And then Isaiah Pacheco is one of the best backs after contact, right? And so, like, the coaching and schemes and narratives and relationships, so much of January and February football comes down to who's still comfortable playing physical, right, who still has it in their body to play a physical game. And you've seen the Niners defense, there's been questions about like effort and intensity over the last couple of weeks. It is hard to maintain that is such an intense defense, such a fast defense. It's hard to maintain that over half of a year. This game's going to come down to who's willing to hit and who's willing to get guys down.
Do you think that the 49ers defense not being particularly willing tacklers, is that just the style that they play wearing down over the course of the season? Do you think that's a little bit of a absence of D'Amico thing?
So I think D'Amico probably affects things a little bit, right? Because D'Amico, like, behaves on the sideline like he would like to go hit somebody, right? Like, there's like a tone setter aspect to it. I'll never forget those clips when he was the DC of the Niners after a 3rd-and-7 blitz. Like, they had the quarterback down, the camera cuts to D'Amico on the sidelines, he's 4 yards out on the field, just like chopping up and down, slamming his chest. Like, he felt his soul in Fred Warner when Fred Warner made that hit. So there's some of that. There's absolutely some of
and
that.
And Wilkes is in the booth.
Yeah, which booth coordinators.
Don't trust him.
What about offense?
I honestly couldn't remember the take, whether it was sideline, it was booth, you can't trust them. Yeah. They're afraid to compete was your...
Scared to compete.
Right. That's a good one.
Get down with the players. Exchange ideas.
I'm pro booth offensive coordinator.
Me too.
Sideline defensive coordinator.
Okay, it's like...
A DC in the booth is like, that's some powder blue Chargers uniforms.
Shiel, what did they do to Sean Desai when they benched Sean Desai? Mm-hmm. Throw him up in the booth.
Embarrass him.
That worked out so well.
He had to walk in and he was like...
Pretend you're doing something.
It was like the opposite of the Roy Williams gif when he's coming in the locker room.
The defensive quality control gif was like, a quality control coach was like, this is your seat, Sean. You sit there.
You already have a soft pretzel. Why don't you have a seat? Get your butt back here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, booths are questionable. Wilkes is in the booth. Booth Wilkes.
Ooh.
All right. We've reached the point where there is no more analysis of this game necessary.
I want to redo my take, by the way.
Let's play. Can they move it up to Saturday, please? For my health and well-being.
You got a new take, Steven?
Yeah, we're going to get a Lincoln situation now.
All right. Well, I've learned a lot this week. I've learned a lot in this segment. Anything else? Anybody dying to get any new information off the chest?
No. That's everything I learned.
I was about to tell Nora, don't leave the door open for him. just move on. But you said you got nothing else, so that was good.
That's all I've learned this week.
All right. Well, maybe we'll take a break and we'll come back. And I think Team Extra Point Taken maybe has a couple little props, and we'll have some fun with that stuff. First, however, I will wish a happy Super Bowl to all who celebrate from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're like me, Super Bowl Sunday is all about scoring the best seat on the couch, grabbing your favorite football snacks, and placing some super bets. Solak, you are our resident expert here. You want to give me some Super Bowl bets that you're into?
Yeah. I got Noah Gray over 10.5 receiving yards. Got Deebo Samuel over 4.5 receptions. I have Isaiah Pacheco to have at least 60 rushing yards, 70 rushing yards, 80 rushing yards, 90 rushing yards, 100 rushing yards. I have Patrick Mahomes to throw at least 12.5 more yards than Brock Purdy does. I have Patrick Mahomes to rush for or to throw at least one more touchdown than Brock Purdy does. Mahomes rushing over 22.5. Mahomes rushing over 50. Isaiah Pacheco to rush for more touchdowns than Christian McCaffrey does. I have Noah Gray to score a touchdown. I have Sam Darnold, MVP.
Woo. Do you have the number to 1-800-GAMBLER? Just checking.
Yeah, that's everything I have.
Do you like, Steven and I did some long shot MVP bets on a midweek pod. And maybe actually, Sheil, you can tell us about this because you were talking about the Spags defense. I had Legarius Sneed, long shot MVP. And Steven had Justin Reed, long shot MVP. How do we feel?
So I think Justin Reed, if the Chiefs defense plays well, is going to be like the film all-star. The like Monday, Tuesday. Oh my, because that's what I felt
football
watching.
Football hipster
MVP. Yeah, well, but I want to be in on that. So I don't, the hipsters can't play
football
me.
Football hipsters
no,
only when someone was right
me.
Before
no,
Sheil.
In parentheses,
if Sheil was right with them, then it's fine. It's
you can't claim
thing.
Justin Reed.
It's
sorry.
Only when someone else thought.
Sorry, that. Justin Reed, you're mainstream. You're with the normies like me. So I think like MVP wise, like what it would be right after the game, I think Sneed might have a better chance because if he gets two interceptions, if he has a pick six,
Force
something
fumble,
like that, yeah, that might be more. Although Reed is in the mix, it feels like Reed's
pick?
In the mix
Why
of every
pick?
Play. Yeah, he could get it. So he's a terrible answer.
And that middle
Purdy
field
floats
is
a little dig route.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Purdy, because Purdy doesn't throw the Jimmy pick into the robber. Purdy throws quarters picks. He throws to the weak safety.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's Chamari Connor. Chamari Connor's getting the pick. Weak safety.
All right. And FanDuel has so many ways for you to end the season with a W or two or three. Not only can you bet on who will win Super Bowl 58, but FanDuel also has bets for which players will score a touchdown, how many points will be scored, and so much more. If you're new to FanDuel, join today, and you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you win your first $5 bet. Just visit FanDuel.com/RingerNFL to sign up. That's FanDuel.com/RingerNFL. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. See 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit theringer.com/RG. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. All right, we are back on Extra Threat. And Sheil and Ben, I hear you have maybe a little something prepared for me and Steven. Talk through. You know, you guys are the props guys. You're always doing predictions, always doing little stuff that we can look out for in the game, and we want to get in on that.
Yeah, well, Super Bowl has, like, the weird ones. So I mean, they're not all weird, but they're a little – they're not your normal just first-time touchdown score. So a couple that – well, one. Let's start with this one. This is the first time I've seen. Solak would probably know the history of this. The next gen stats being incorporated.
It's new to me. I've never seen the NBA, the MPH odds.
Yeah. Exciting. Yeah. So that's what I got. So there, you can actually wager through FanDuel on fastest offensive ball carrier recorded. You know, when it's like you see the next gen, like this guy got up to 21 miles per hour on this run. So here's the favorite is Deebo Samuel. At plus 590, tied with Christian McCaffrey, actually, plus 590. You can go Isaiah Pacheco. You can go Brandon Ayuk. Remember, this doesn't have to be someone who's going to get, like, eight touches. You need one play where someone runs fast. That's what you do. You can go Marquez Valdez-Scantling. You can go Ray McLeod. Those are, like, the top five or six, and then you can, you know.
Kadarius Toney on the board?
Kadarius Toney is not on the board. I think they probably saw Andy Reid's press conference where he's like, yeah, I don't think Kadarius Toney.
Not happening.
Yeah.
I've been trying to think of, like, funniest player to have enormous play, and it's 100% Kadarius Toney.
Yeah. Oh,
the problem
without
is,
a doubt.
Last year it was Kadarius Toney, and so I was like, it's got to be someone new this year, right? And I was like, no, wait a minute. It's still Kadarius Toney.
It's still Kadarius Toney.
I'm praying that he has the same game he had last year. one catch, one reception, enormous punt return. Hugely valuable player on the field for four total snaps. Love
Gets
that.
Gets a high riser after the game at the press conferences.
And then we just repeat the entire, well, maybe if they just figure out how to use him.
If, right.
If they, you know, got him the right cleat and the left cleat, and he didn't have to worry about that, the guy might be in the Hall of Fame. You know, who knows? All right, so who do you think? Who's running fast? That is this prop bet. Who is running the fastest in this football game? Solak said football comes down to tackling. It also comes down to who runs fast. So who runs fast in this game?
You have a pick?
So I take your point that it doesn't have to be someone who's going to get a lot of touches.
But it could be.
But Steven and I talked about this maybe last week. Christian McCaffrey has got to be like one of the most motivated players in this game.
Yeah, this could be his moment. Like his all-time moment.
We talked about this is a guy who seemed like a shoo-in to win the Heisman, and then he didn't win the Heisman.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/RingerNFL. Just go to Indeed.com/RingerNFL right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Modelo. What does a true fan look like? It's cheering the loudest. It's never missing a game, no matter what. And for that, you deserve an ice cold reward because you are a fighter and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Shop delivery or pickup options near you at ordermodelo.com. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
He spends the majority of his NFL career in Carolina. He doesn't really win anything. Christian McCaffrey's like never had a moment with a big trophy. He's this great player. He's an MVP candidate. He's got like, I wonder if there's a little more fire in the belly.
I like that.
For Christian McCaffrey. And he's got the speed. So that
and
maybe
he's
that's
have
my
a
bet.
Lot of options. Like I said, it only has to be one play, but if a guy's touching it 18 times, he has more opportunities to run fast. So there you go.
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with someone that's not going to touch the ball a lot. Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Really?
He takes a screen on a screen
plus
pass.
Plus 1,500.
Clydesdale?
On a screen pass.
I like it. There you go. Yeah, plus 1,500.
Clyde's stride isn't long enough to get that level of speed. Oh, because it hit an acceleration.
He doesn't have to be Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, right.
He's well rested.
It could be 19 miles per hour.
Yeah. Travis Kelce speed. Yeah.
Travis Kelce's 16.
Tough for Travis.
19 miles per hour for Travis would be...
Travis ain't moving.
He's
around.
Getting drug tested after the game.
Solak, who would your pick be?
I like Ryder McLeod. I like a reverse or jet touch or jet sweep player from the 49ers. Ray Ray tends to be that guy when it's not Debo. This is a game where I think that in order to, like, one of the best ways to punish the blitz is to get into constraint play looks, get into bubble screens, get into jets, and you roll the dice. And if you get lucky and you get away from the blitz, then you have house call potential. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see, especially like first couple of drives, Shanahan walk out with some like design touches, right? Little like, oh, flip reverse. I think like the Jameson Williams things that they saw 2 weeks ago. And Ray can be that sort of player for them.
If I'm going like more mainstream, I would go Pacheco. I think fourth quarter, he puts the game out of reach with a run, breaks a tackle.
Yep.
Pacheco, 20 miles per hour.
Every same game parlay I have, which I have one that's up on the ringer, all of them have at least one Pacheco leg in them. I think the Pacheco is the most reliable volume, the most reliable explosive player in this game. I know you said that you this Niners run defense you think could perform a little bit better against the Chiefs.
You're confident.
One thing that I took away from watching film in preparation for this game is that we all don't understand how good Pacheco is. Pacheco is such a good runner of the football. Yeah. I think Pacheco against Fred Warner in the hole. It's advantage Pacheco. Pacheco is a big dude and breaks tackles. Yeah, absolutely.
That's spicy.
Dude, Pacheco into Fred with velocity is going to be fun to watch on Sunday. I can't wait.
All right, do we have another one?
Yeah, I got one for you. Player to record a 30-plus yard reception. Right now, like I said, the Chiefs defense is the best defense in the league at stopping explosive passes. Fourth best is the San Francisco 49ers. Both of these teams have been taking away the explosive pass. It's funny because they do it dramatically differently. The Chiefs are a two-deep team, play man coverage, and then they blitz, they confuse your quarterback, they make him hold on to the football. The Chiefs do it the opposite direction. They are a press team, right? They'll play single high on you. They'll play zone coverage on you, put a blanket over you, and then they let their four-down rush win. But both teams, very, very challenging to complete explosive plays on them. However, this is the sort of game where one, two explosive plays can break it, right? If you're the Niners and you hit a couple explosives, you put the Chiefs in a pass situation, they are not happy, right, in that negative game script. If you're the Chiefs, you hit a couple explosive passes. Now the Niners have got to drop back. You can dial up the blitzes, not good. So an explosive play is so valuable in every game, but really in this game. Brandon Ayuk is the favorite at plus 140. And then you have Deebo Samuel, plus 220. Rashee Rice, plus 230. Travis Kelce, plus 240. George Kittle, plus 290. And then Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Justin Watson, Juwan Jennings, Noah Gray, Christian McCaffrey all the way down there at the bottom as well. When you think the explosive receiver in this game, the guy who has a big reception, big catch and run, who do you think?
Justin Watson?
Justin Watson, plus 420.
Right. I think it's going to be a Chiefs receiver.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it's going to be to the right side of the field. It's going to be Ambry Thomas in coverage. I think they're going to attack that matchup. They don't switch sides, their corners, the 49ers. They know where he's going to be. Yep. They know where they have to attack. I think they're going to get one on him.
Yep. It was really – I'm very curious to see that matchup in particular because last year the Chiefs targeted Charvarius Ward, Mooney Ward, the corner one for the Niners, a ton. 11 targets, 9 receptions surrendered, over 100 yards. I talked to Ward about this. I think it's very unlikely that happens again. Ward is very aware of what happened in that game, wasn't stoked about it, and has gotten a lot better since then. The guy who has been the dude to hammer is Ambry Thomas, and it feels like absolutely right. Get into 11 personnel, get that third corner on the field. Ambry plays on the outside. He's been – the Packers targeted him in the divisional round. He's been kind of the guy that people have been hitting.
It's a good longer shot. I still just think – I think Deebo's going to break one.
Yep.
I think it's almost a given.
Yeah, Deebo, I asked Shield this on our show. I'm curious what you guys think. If I tell you of the three Niners receivers, Kittle, Ayuk, and Deebo, one of them, only one on Sunday, goes for over 100 yards, which one would you think it is? Because, and I'll give you a second to think, because Deebo, on the season, 3.2 yards per route run against zone coverage, 0.7 yards per route run against man coverage. It is the biggest delta. It is the biggest difference in yards per route run between zone coverage and man coverage of any receiver in the league. And the Chiefs give you a lot of man. So I can't figure out exactly how Deebo's going to get used.
I don't know if that matters, though, those Why stats. Not? Just because I think the Chiefs' defense is so unique and that Kyle is such a reactive play caller. Right. He's reacting to what the defense does that I don't know if those numbers will apply to this matchup.
Because Deebo's also their best receiver against middle of the field open, and you get a lot of middle of the field open from the Chiefs. So it's weird.
I got distracted during that because Andy Reid is over there.
Andy.
He's just like hanging out on Radio Row.
No, that's the Andy Reid impersonator, Nora.
Why would Andy Reid be here?
I didn't hear a word they said. That is the best lookalike impersonator I have ever seen in my life.
I knew it.
No, I did, but I haven't seen him this close.
Just going to bring it around to... Could you imagine Kyle Shanahan showing up on Radio Row on Friday? This just proves our point. Back to the beginning of the show, we got it. And I was like, is that actually?
I mean, he was like 10 feet from us, and I was just staring at him. And it's not one of those where from far away art. It looks like close up. I mean, he's chewing gum. The way he's walked out of here. I was like, wait, is Nora right? Is it actually? That is incredible.
But why would he be here?
That's the guy in the stands. He's always in the stands.
Look, Patrick Mahomes is here, Nora.
I don't know if it's the same guy.
Okay.
Steven is pointing to a banner. That's mean. That is not.
That's a banner. I didn't see that's a good one.
All right. I'm sorry. That really.
I was with you.
Thank you, Gilles. I'm glad that I was with company.
That was incredible.
I really fell for that.
I'm going to be telling my grandkids about that.
That was amazing.
This Andy Reid impersonator. Unbelievable.
Gilles, you've been in the same room as the real Andy Reid.
Can we get a producer over there to flag him down? Will he come on the pod?
He did a thing last year. Like people would walk up to him, like ask him questions, like he was Andy Reid. And every single time, they asked him like, Andy, do you have any like plays dialed up for Sunday, like against the Eagles? And he was like, I'm gonna open my cheeseburger wrapper and see what's written in there. It was such a cheap joke. Everybody just handed Andy cheeseburger.
But Andy does that. So that guy could legitimately do a press conference and have half the room full.
That'd be a good bit.
It would be a great bit.
Well, Andy doesn't want to do them anymore.
We should set up
a press conference situation. Yeah,
I've been getting a lot of like. You know, the PR emails this week about a Brock Purdy impersonator.
Oh.
He could be on the field on Sunday.
Solak, does anyone tell you you look like Brock Purdy at all?
He does not look like Brock Purdy.
Okay, no, I'm asking. I actually had two people text me a couple, I haven't told you this yet. One thought there was a Brock Purdy resemblance. Like, they sent me a picture of him walking into the stadium and go Solak. And then my wife thought you looked like a young Tony Romo.
I see the Romo.
See that? Yeah. Those two, if they had a love child.
But I mean, did you guys, saw the tweet about Brock Purdy looking like John Wilkes Booth?
Oh, wait, shoot. I look like young
two
Tony Romo.
Mentions.
Two John Wilkes Booth mentions on the pod.
Huge for John Wilkes Booth.
Listen, modern.
Like,
is this a pro
talk?
John Wilkes Booth?
John Wilkes Booth legacy talk?
Legacy talk. What will John Wilkes Booth be remembered for after this game? Dude, I just Googled young Tony Romo. I look like Tony.
And by the transitive property, therefore, a slight resemblance to Ben Solak.
It's Lee Harvey Oswald.
It was Lee Harvey Oswald?
It wasn't John
Williams. Gosh, darn it.
You are struggling.
Listen.
It's okay.
The impersonator has me shook, too. Don't feel bad.
I have no
idea
what anybody looks like.
I'm glad this is a video pod. Now people can chime in on the Purdy Romo.
So I look like, people bring up Brock. Brock has a younger brother, Chubba, and I've been told I look more like Chubba.
Okay.
You don't look anything like that man.
I don't think you look like
Chubba. Are you nuts?
That looks nothing like you.
Nothing like you.
Okay, so firstly, I said I've been told. So I'm not nuts.
Those people, cut them out of your life.
Secondly,
they're bringing you down.
I don't know what Andy Reid looks like. I don't know what Lee Harvey Oswald looks like, but I know you don't.
And you don't know what Lee Harvey Oswald did, apparently. Gosh, so much more presidential assassination talk than I expected on this show.
Really? No, that was what I expected. I
really was not anticipating that
I think George Kittle is the most likely to have a 30-plus yard reception.
Neither were. All right.
Can I say, Marquez, are we sure? I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling is a fun, like, if you're putting a little lettuce on something just for fun. I mean, it's crazy.
She loves to put lettuce on things. She thinks it's great.
The other next-gen stats thing is player to have the longest, like, air yards on a catch. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is plus 630. Like, he just needs
Wait,
one.
Wait, that's the stat I want for Justin Watson. That's the bet I want.
Yards one?
Okay. Lettuce is dollars.
Because I was imagining
it can also be hair.
It can also be hair.
Look at the lettuce on this guy.
She talks a lot about lettuce.
It's very versatile. Yeah, I would
say. You ever talk about like actual lettuce?
Yeah.
Maybe Solak can talk to you about some actual
I'll tell
lettuce.
You this. On like a sandwich or like if you're doing a... I like lettuce, tomato, onion, but if the lettuce isn't there, I don't want the tomato and onion. It keeps everything together.
You're
saying
tomato and onion's a lettuce merchant.
What did you say?
Tomato and onion is a lettuce merchant. Tomato and onion are system players. Yeah. Lettuce is the system.
Thank you. You're right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a good take, right?
Yeah. Which one's Brock Purdy?
We need that for if you need something for social.
Wait, which one's Brock Purdy?
Now my mind's trying to process all the things. Is he lettuce, tomato, or onion?
Yeah.
You're saying lettuce is
okay.
Integral.
He is probably, yeah. No.
Tomato
he's
and onion only
lettuce.
Work if lettuce is there.
Yeah.
Lettuce is Shanahan.
Yeah, I think he's probably an onion.
Wow.
You heard it here first. That's his comp.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy onion.
You heard it here first. As if
and you're not going to hear it anywhere else. Yeah. All right.
MVS is a really fun player to handicap. Because there's only two Chiefs receivers who stay on the field a majority of the time. And it's Rashee Rice, who's like 6.5 receptions, 66 yards. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who's like 1.5 catches. Because he's just a cardio
running
king.
Track out
he
there.
Just runs. I asked him this week, I was like, MVS, like, do you like run more in this offense than in other offense? Like, do you have to run around a lot more? It's like scramble drills and deep patterns. And he was like, yeah.
And I was like, I do indeed. Yeah,
the man's just Apple watching out there, just seeing how many steps he's getting, just seeing what the mileage is.
That's good. I like that saying.
That just is good. Yeah. I don't like just to give Apple you credit, and that there. Was good.
He is Apple good. Watching.
You heard that here first.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first.
Breaking a lot of news here.
Listen, either you're going to win the MVS bets, or it's going to be a tremendously bad beat where he's wide open.
There's right.
And drops. So it's like a win either way.
There's going to be a moment in the game in which you've won the MVS bet, and it's when the ball is in the air. 3 feet from his outstretched hands with no defenders contacting him.
And then
what happens
happen.
After that moment remains to be seen.
All right. Any others?
That one's interesting to me. To catch a pass on first drive for each team is always interesting because it's often a question of who do you want to get activated, right? Who are you scripting stuff out for? The Niners' favorite right now is Deebo Samuel at plus 137. The Niners, when they play playoff teams, when they play in the playoffs, they try to get Deebo activated early. You see his rushing props go up in those games against top opponents. Debo's kind of their lifeblood. He's their heartbeat. They feel like if they get him rolling, they're good. And so
reception on first drive. That's
reception
what
on first
reception
drive.
Reception on first
plus 137. Christian McCaffrey is plus 140. Ayuk plus 162. Juwan Jennings is plus 550.
That's good value to me.
And listen, it is. But there was that one game this year where I bet Juwan Jennings catch pass on every single drive, and he didn't catch one. And then he set a True Media record for most routes run without a target. And I was just like, how is this happening to me?
Because
right
you
now?
Bet on it.
Yes.
You should confront him about that.
I've thought about it multiple times. Juwan, What are we doing? So there's that, and then to catch a pass on the first drive of the Kansas City Chiefs, this is really funny to me. Travis Kelce is the favorite. Rashee Rice. Isaiah Pacheco is third. You will never guess who's fourth.
Noah Gray.
It's
he doubted me.
It's Noah Gray, which I've taken this bet each of the last 6 weeks, and it should be going from like plus 900, plus 800, plus 700. It's plus 450. The implied fourth most valuable catcher for the Chiefs is Noah Gray. This team is in the Super Bowl. I remain astonished that this offense made it. Every day I find a new stat where I'm like, how did they get here?
Yeah. Blake Bell erasure, man.
Blake Bell, great guy. I loved talking to a Blake Bell. He was excellent. I asked Noah Gray. I was like, why you guys run so much 13 personnel in the playoffs? And Noah Gray was like, because we're so well coached. And I was like, thanks, Noah. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Awesome. And then I went to Blake Bell, and then he gave me like an actual answer about tight ends. It was very handy.
Shout out Blake Bell.
Shout out Blake Bell.
Love it.
Go Sooners.
But also, we're not going to be calling people great guys based on our media interactions. They could be complete jerks. Good media interaction. We're not going to get into this media good guy award, okay?
Oh, brother.
Yeah, sorry.
This guy.
It's late. I had to, I've been waiting to get that off my chest for 12 to 13 years, and this was the right time.
This guy. Okay.
I love it. You heard it here first. All right. Maybe we take one more break, and then Steven and I have a little game for the two of you.
Okay.
All right, and now it's time for Dynamic Duos, an all-new segment brought to you by State Farm. Some things are just better together. One of those things, particularly relevant for this Super Bowl, is a couple of iconic figures in the pop music world. That's Usher and Taylor Swift, both expected to be in attendance at the Super Bowl, right? I mean, Taylor Swift to support Travis Kelce, Usher doing the halftime show.
Usher.
Ben Solak has been saying Usher.
It's my favorite Usher line.
All week.
When he whispered his name.
By default?
Yes.
What's your second favorite?
Why this?
So what we're going to do here, because I'm pretty sure, Ben, that you don't know any Usher songs other than the one line, Usher.
Yeah.
And the other one isn't a song.
We were going to play a little game where we were going to pose Usher song title or Taylor Swift song title. And I think because Sheil lives in the world and knows things and songs. Sheil is going to be your lifeline here, Ben.
Are your daughters big Swift fans, Sheil?
They're going to ask if they're big Usher fans. They are big Swift fans. Yeah.
Okay.
They're big Nora Princiati fans. I mean, she is the most popular content creator in the Kapadia household by like, a wide margin.
What do they think about the quarterback rankings?
They have takes. Yeah. You'll be hearing from them.
Big Purdy supporters. So Sheil's going to be your lifeline.
Cool.
And I don't know. We'll be nice. You can use your lifeline maybe twice. However, there's a twist.
Okay.
I've changed this game.
Oh, no.
It is now Usher song title, Taylor Swift song title, or Travis Kelce tweet.
Oh, okay. I have seen some Travis Kelce tweets on the old interwebs. They're pretty good.
So we'll kick it off. The title is Boyfriend.
Well, that can't be a Travis Kelce tweet. He would just tweet the word boyfriend?
Could be. Could be anything.
Taylor Swift. That makes sense, right? That's intuitive?
Wrong.
Tough.
It's Usher.
Usher has a song called Boyfriend.
Yes.
Is it about himself?
Usher is like one of the iconic Usher traits as an artist is like centering the female perspective. This is like deep in the R&B legacy, and he brought it to the forefront of pop music in the mid-2000s.
Is that what it's like to listen to me?
That's why he didn't listen. That's why I didn't listen, not for him.
You're 0 for 1. The second title or tweet, Karma.
Oh, see, I feel like everything is a Taylor Swift song because she just wrote a lot of them. So statistically, I should be gambling. Karma. No, that's a Travis Kelce tweet. He quote tweeted like some like, you know, oh some God. Famous thing that happened. He was like, Karma. Right? That's Travis Kelce tweet.
Karma is the guy on the Chiefs. This is coming right home to me. God, Karma is my boyfriend. Taylor Swift.
I mean, come on.
Was that an obvious one?
Yes. Come on.
Wait, so Karma,
I can't believe you started.
She wrote a
that
song.
Is like
wait.
You got to start using your lifelines. I thought you were going to ace this.
She wrote a song about Travis already?
Oh, no, so she gosh. Wrote a song called Karma. It was on her last album.
Are you
going to
ask him if he's on the internet? I mean,
right,
come on.
Right.
I didn't know that one either, to be honest. That's why I'm quiet.
So she wrote a song about Travis?
So it's not about Travis. Travis went to the Eras Tour in Argentina during the Chiefs bye week. She changed the lyric And it was a big deal because he's in the audience. He's with her dad. And she changes it and she says, Karma is the guy
That's
on the
very
Chiefs.
Sweet of her.
And everybody goes crazy. Yeah. But Taylor Swift has a song called Karma.
Karma, 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 Chameleon.
All right. That's
that was my
good.
First thought.
That's
good.
That's
song,
a great
actually.
One. Yeah, yeah. That's a banger.
But I knew Taylor and Usher didn't write that one.
So here's one. Maybe you can get back on track here. The moon looks crazy tonight.
Travis Kelce tweet.
I'm a chill out here for a little and just visualize my success and vibe to the scenery.
Vibe to the scenery is Travis Kelce. Yep.
Ding, 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 ding. You got one.
That would be a heck of a song title, though. Yeah. I will say, if anyone wants to steal that.
That was like a 2011 Travis Kelce tweet.
Yeah, actually, August 24th, 2010.
Yep.
Man, shout out Killatrap.
An elite era of Twitter when athletes were just tweeting into the void and didn't know that 9 years later that John was getting retweeted real fast.
And be dating the most famous woman on the planet and playing in the Super Bowl. And
he was visualizing. He was like, in 14 years, that's what I'll be up to.
All right. Me, exclamation point.
I actually am not sure about
this. Is
this
official?
One. Oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to say that.
No,
right?
I was lifelining.
Okay. You're lifelining?
You were lifelining.
Say it out loud. Me, why can't they put more words in the song titles?
I think that's Usher. I don't remember a Taylor Swift song named
right. Me.
I'm going Usher.
Sheila and I are going Usher. Final answer.
Your lifeline let you
Dude,
down.
Dude, how dare you? All right,
Taylor Swift.
What is me?
Your daughters will be
single,
mad at you
the much maligned first single off of Lover. And you know what else?
Oh, my gosh.
Premiered during the 2000... What year was Lover? 18 NFL draft.
She debuted a song during the draft?
Yes.
It's tough.
In Nashville? What year was the draft?
Yeah, Nashville
was
yeah. Yeah, 2018.
There were... So what happened was several weeks before the draft, she like wipes her social
as one
profiles.
Does right she and was a wide receiver a, hitting free agency
there's
got
a
it.
She unfollowed Cliff Kingsbury. She makes a post and it's got seven she posts something on Instagram, it's got seven palm trees in it, and everybody knows seven palm trees, seventh album is coming. But then people figure out
I would have thought 1, 2, 3 Cancun.
Some of the other imagery in the post, people figure out that she's cluing us in that Arbor Day is when the first single is coming.
Because of palm trees?
Yeah, because
that take.
We were right.
The Ben. Insane take.
We were right.
I mean, technically, but you were wrong in spirit.
I've brought so much shame to my family with that one. I don't think I can go home.
Yeah, no. Your daughters are screaming right now at their dad.
I honestly feel like pit in my stomach.
Is
yeah.
naming a song me exclamation point a bad look? If we dropped a pod,
Ben, be careful, okay? Do you know who you're dealing with?
No, this is one of Taylor Swift's worst songs.
If we dropped a pod, Sheil, and we titled it "Us!" exclamation point, I feel like we would get some grief for that.
No, I'm good with that. Tuesday, extra point taken. Us.
Us.
Yeah, I like that.
I kind of like it for you guys. Yeah. Me is not a high caliber Taylor Swift song. She has a very tortured history of choosing lead singles for albums, and Me is probably the quintessential example of just, like, why did you do this?
How many albums does she have? Like, 14?
Do you count re-records or not?
Do I?
Like 10.
10? You think she would have gotten good at this by now.
Yeah, but you know what? It's tricky. She's a complicated lady.
I'm worried for your safety.
She's busy flying and destroying
right,
the ozone layer.
We're going to move on. You're doing absolutely terribly.
Yeah. I got one.
That was a bad job by me. Sorry. I'll take responsibility.
Here's maybe we get back on track here. Yeah, exclamation point.
That's Usher.
All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's not how it sounds.
That's not how it sounds.
How does it sound?
I can't do yeah on the podcast.
It needs to be produced.
Well, I agree. I know yeah is an Usher song.
But you're off beat. You're off rhythm.
Yeah.
In the club with my homies.
Beat. He just says yeah.
Yeah. Not a good look.
Oh, all right, God. You got one. You are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1 for 5.
2 for 5. 2 for 5. You got yeah and you got the moon looks crazy tonight.
This one's going to be tough.
This one's going to be hard, though. You might need a lifeline here. Too mad right now, 3 exclamation points. Can't find my phone, exclamation point. Either somebody got me for it, or I just misplaced it. But either way, I'm phoneless right now.
So he was tweeting from the desktop. Or from a smart fridge.
That's a pure poster. I don't respect phone smart posters. Desktop posters.
Yeah, if you're posting from the phone, you don't love the game.
Did we have, I mean, this is November 24, 2010, so I don't know that we had smart fridge technology.
No.
All right, we're just going to keep rolling. Caught up. Taylor, Travis, Usher.
Can I tell him whether a lifeline would be useful to him?
No.
Or not?
No. Yeah. He has to intuit this.
My problem is that, like, every time you name one of them, all the producers are going, yep. Yeah. They're just like, dang it. I'm guessing Taylor Swift. That's my vibe. Is that correct? I'm looking at you.
You
I'm
can't
using
say
a
that's my vibe. You're using is that
a
correct?
I'm using a lifeline. No. If I weren't using a lifeline, I would guess Taylor Swift.
No,
but I'm using
Usher.
It. It's Usher?
Yeah.
Usher's caught up.
Ding, 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 ding.
Right.
My favorite Usher song.
All right. Because
it's a bop.
It's great.
It's
yeah.
just a great, it's just a classic Usher, like, party song. good use of the lifeline.
Lindsay
good
Jones
use of the
Jones
lifeline.
Is here. This is the lifeline we need.
Here's your next one. This is going to be hard. Up at Olive Garden with Papa. Had to grab the fettuccine with the chicken Alfredo. Hashtag schmackin'.
Haven't we all?
Who among us?
Here, my last time I was in an Olive Garden.
Did you schmack?
I was schmacking. The Eagles drafted Eric Rowe, safety out of Utah. 45 overall, second round. I was devastated. I hated Rowe, so. Thought it was terrible. I was right.
Oh, at least you were schmacking.
Drafted as a corner, I think. And then moved to when he
Yeah. This was like year one.
What are we doing? All right. Sorry.
All right. Here's the next one. By the way, you have one lifeline left.
Okay.
Cowboy like me.
Cowboy like me. This is a trick. It's meant to make me think Usher, but it's actually Taylor Swift.
You got it.
All right.
I know what I'm being played.
I wasn't trying to play you.
Okay,
I wasn't trying to play. I thought you were going to get every single one of these. Ben.
Yeah, you really didn't go too far. I was worried that you were really going to go like under the radar, but you did not.
Why would I know any of the... never mind.
All right, here's your next one.
Oh.
Anti-hero.
I feel like I've seen this before. All right. Lindsay's laughing, which makes me think Taylor Swift. I'm going Taylor Swift, yeah.
You're right. You're getting better at reading the social cues around us.
Competitively, I'm finding tendencies, all right? Pre-snap tendencies on the film. That's what I'm finding.
All right,
we're
everybody
lining
stop.
Up and just playing.
Stop reacting.
Conservative trickery.
Just beating people one-on-one.
The next one.
They have more songs?
I just gave a squirrel, S-Q-U-I-R-L-E, a piece of bread. And it straight smashed all of it. I had no idea they ate bread like that. Ha ha. Hashtag crazy.
He heard it here first. Squirrels eat bread.
I mean, that's a phenomenal tweet.
It's Dude, so
I
tell good.
You, college Travis Kelce was the perfect poster.
The purest poster.
All other posters downhill since then.
It has never been better than January, February, March, April. April 14th, 2011. Travis Kelce. Just observing nature.
Just feeding squirrels.
From his desktop.
Confessions Part 2.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, my God.
Is it no chance
That's
Part 2?
That's so embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
That's mortifying.
Why is that embarrassing? Why? What's so embarrassing about that?
All right.
Confessions
listen,
is like one of the most
Sheila,
famous
you have
successful
yes,
albums
got
in
this.
The
Senior
history
week
of American
high school,
music.
I was burning, you know, CDs
burning
forever
CDs,
with
for
Usher.
Sure.
I'm going to burn.
That's illegal,
you
by the way.
Can
wow,
we cut this part out?
To DMCA you.
All right. I'll make you like, you know, like an Usher playlist. You can listen to it on your way home.
Sheila is a criminal.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, it was the Wild Wild West. This was pre-Napster. You don't know what I'm talking about.
I know.
All right, let's just move
Lime
on.
LimeWire.
Okay.
I don't think it was it.
Were you in like a coma?
Yeah. I was. Well, it was around the time.
Yeah.
Napster burning
yeah,
because
Napster,
yes.
Napster is like 99 yeah. and Confessions yeah. Part 2 is like 2004. Yeah.
What was Confessions Part 1?
That.
I mean, I.
We're going to burn you a mixtape.
He confessed some things and it went so well.
Yeah.
He was like, I've done more in my life.
No, Usher had a lot to get off his chest. You know,
you know who Chili from TLC is?
I don't even understand the question you just asked me.
Look it up.
Oh, wow.
That's what the song's about.
Wow.
How you spell Chili?
All right.
Same
have
way.
We reached the...
We have two more.
Two
we have
more.
Two more.
Okay.
Like the food.
This is... I want you to know that this is in all caps.
Okay.
Nap time!
Oh, man. Probably Travis Kelce would be an elite song title if it was, though.
It Travis. Is indeed Travis.
How many X... How many points?
I wanted to tell you how many exclamation points, but it is just simply too many. I mean, we've got at least 35 14. Exclamation points here.
You can't do that on a phone. That's a desktop tweet.
Yeah,
you can just hold it down.
I'm telling you. Confirmed desktop tweeter, I feel, was early 2010s Travis Kelce. All right, last one. You belong with me.
You belong with me.
All right.
Ending on a high note. Good job, Ben.
Nice job.
Because we all belong together because of the podcast.
It started off in a tough place, but I think you redeemed yourself. Mm-hmm. I hope you feel like you learned something. I certainly do.
Yeah.
Love it. All right.
I'm reading about Rosanda Thomas, a.k.a. Chili, right now, so I'm learning something about that.
Well, that was Dynamic Duos. Maybe Dynamic Trios, because we included the Travis tweets. But stuff. Usher and Taylor, what a dynamic duo in the house on Sunday. And you know what else is better together? Home and auto insurance. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, bundling home and auto is just another way to save. The Personal Price Plan is a pro move when it comes to saving money. It lets you call the plays so you can choose the coverage that fits your needs at a price you can afford. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state. All right, I think we'll call it there. Benjamin, what are you learning about Chili?
Steven's making me Google like 1990s pop drama. I'm learning about...
He learned about Left Eye burning down Andre Rison's house.
Okay, we're ending the podcast right here.
Waiting to exhale if you need a movie on the...
Who did?
This has been Extra Threat. It is truly a joy to be here with you all. I think we got a lot done. I think we're all ready for the big game. Dual Threat is going to be back on Sunday. Steven and I are going to follow up the Super Bowl. We'll break it down. And then Extra Point Taken is going to be back on Tuesday. And then the Extra Threat crew is getting back together.
Even more threat.
I don't know how. Two extra, threat. Two threat.
How much threat is
after
too much
this,
threat?
After this, I don't know. That's to be decided.
I don't know how we're going to top this, but next Friday we're going to try. Thank you to Christopher Sutton for producing this episode. Thank you to Arjuna Rambopal for additional production supervision right here in Las Vegas. Thank you to Connor Nevins for doing the same back in LA. Thank you to the entire Ringer crew for keeping locking down the fort this entire week. Let's get ready for the Super Bowl.
Let's do it.
Go Birds.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.